I hope you wouldn't, over your faith, okay? But we need to be able to stand our ground and stand up for our faith, okay? And so this is important. This is important. We need to know how to defend our faith. I think about how, again, kind of getting back to what is the faith, what is that content? When you look in the book of Acts, looking at the first century church, right? And you go back to the book of Acts, and you look there in Acts chapter 2, and you get a little glimpse into the first century church. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 42, it may be familiar to some of you, and he says this, in Acts 2:42 and on, he says, and the they there is these first century Christians, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Stop right there. That's what we're talking about, is the faith. The apostles' teaching, okay? Okay, and when you look back at Jude, he's saying that this faith was once delivered to the saints, right? That means it's done. We're not getting any new information about the faith. It's fixed. Got it? Our core beliefs have been fixed. They're right here in God's Word, okay? Nobody should be adding to that, all right? And so this is important, because he's saying when we look back here and saying in the first century church that they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, we need to say, well, we need to have the same attitude. We need to be devoted to what God's Word says, okay? We need to be devoted to what the Word of God says, and that is an aspect of, we got to know what we're fighting for, don't we? If we're going to contend for the faith, we need to know what we're fighting for, which means we kind of need to know what the book says. Amen? You don't know what to defend if you don't know what it says, right? And so we have to understand what the Word of God says are the core essentials to the faith, okay? I mean, there's gray areas. There's things that we're not sure about, that there's room for differences on, okay? But there's plenty of things that are really black and white, all right, that we need to hold our ground on, okay? And that is the faith, all right? That is the faith. And here it says in the first century, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And I say, Lord, make that happen today, right? We need that type of relationship with each other, right? I was reading as they're committing themselves and devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, right? Some of that teaching is related to how they're to relate to each other, isn't it? Right? Bonus material here for you. I was just thinking about, I was reading a book actually about kind of caring for each other in the body of the church, and the very first chapter was just, I thought, right on. It really set the tone. He says, you know what? Humility is necessary. Humility is necessary for a body to function properly, for a church body. We have to see that we need each other, that we need God first and foremost, and that we need each other, right? That takes humility, doesn't it? If I say I don't need you, right, then that's pride. Well, first, I'd be wrong, and that's pride, right? And so just realize, if we want this kind of, we want to experience this kind of faith experience within our community, our own faith community here, it takes humility. We have to be involved in each other's lives, the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? And so often we want to only let each other see the good stuff, right? But God wants to not only let each other see the good stuff, but we need to let others in at large to help us live out our faith and work on that other stuff. Amen? It's important. So that apostles' teaching there It's critical. So in verse 3, that's what we're talking about. Now, I want to talk about three myths here. Three myths about contending for the faith. Because what is behind us? Somebody say this. The word apologetics comes to mind. Okay? Some people, it all depends on your experience. Some people, when they hear apologetics, they say, oh, you know, that's for somebody else, man. I mean, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me no. That's all I need. Okay? This apologetic stuff, defending the faith, knowing how to give an answer for everything, that's other people. That's for the Josh McDowells of the world. That's for Tom Short out on college campuses. That's, you know, whatever. Okay? But it's certainly not my cup of tea. Well, that's the first myth. The first myth. That's the first myth. What do you think? Okay. Okay, that's the first myth that we're going to talk about here. And it's really addressed right in the passage. I don't have to pull something from anywhere else. It's right here. He just said, you know, so the first myth is that contending for the faith is only for certain Christians. Maybe you call them super theologians or, you know, Ravi Zacharias also comes to mind when I think of, you know, an apologist who's well known, right? And now, yeah, these guys, I'm sure they're uniquely gifted in certain ways. I mean, these people, I mean, you know, and that's great. But the fact that he's writing that, he didn't say, I'm only writing this to the church leaders, or I'm only writing this to the people that have the gift of evangelism, did he? No, he said, anybody who's called, loved by God, and kept by Jesus Christ, which means any Christian, right? And so that just kind of blows that myth out of the water, that I have to be some kind of a super saint in order to really have to be someone that has to be learning and growing in my understanding of my faith, right, and what the scriptures say. All right, this is really important, okay, because I'm not going to say it's easy for us to kind of, I don't know, kind of just let that be secondary, okay, and to kind of just say, well, man, I'm just doing good just to get through the day, Pastor Greg. Like, I get that, okay, I have those days. But the thing is that all those things that are happening in our days, they affect us, okay? Our thinking is challenged, whether we want to know it or not. Our thinking is challenged. I mean, all you have to do is turn on the TV, right? Or whatever, watch the news. I mean, your thinking is being challenged, right? Your core beliefs are being challenged. So you need to know how to defend your faith, okay? We need to know that our faith actually is reasonable, okay? We don't want to be one of these Christians that say, I don't know the answers to this stuff, but, you know, I just know I believe. Okay, well, I understand that we're not talking about knowing the answer to everything, okay? And frankly, when you read the passage here, I know he's not saying you got to know the answer to everything, because we don't know the answer to everything, every question you're going to be asked. I mean, that's usually the thing that prevents us from engaging in spiritual conversations with people. Well, first of all, we might be afraid that it might get contentious, right? But we are afraid they're going to ask us a question we don't know the answer to, right? And you know what? All I say is, if that happens, because it's going to happen, okay, because you don't know everything, and I don't know everything, but let that springboard you to find out what the answer would be, you know? So you just say, that's humility. You say, okay, well, hey, I didn't know the answer to that, but I'll get back to you on that. So, you know, it's okay. I mean, actually, it's, you know, my students, they know if I don't know what's going on in a math problem. And it has happened before. You know, sometimes your brain gets scrambled. You know, it's just like, I'm like, you know, I just have learned that, yeah, you can't fake it, man. They can smell a fake a mile away, like when you're trying to work your way through something and you're lost, you know. And I just learned to ask this, does anybody know what's going wrong in this problem? You know, I say, you know, and they help me. Praise the Lord. They don't leave me hanging usually. But, you know, you just got to say, it's okay when you are asked a question about your faith and you don't know the answer. Okay? You just really use that as an opportunity to find out what the answer is, and you know, get with a buddy, a person in the church that you know and respect. Obviously, there are some good resources online, but you do have to be careful with that, okay? Because there's all kinds of other things online too, heresies and other things. So you just gotta that's why I think it's always good to learn in community, okay? Because that's a good safeguard, right? So when you're involved in each other's lives, whether it's just, you know, calling somebody on the phone or sitting down over coffee saying, I'm trying to find the answer to this problem, this question, you work it out, you know, and you have that extra accountability, okay? And so on. Because, you know, some things seem right, but are totally wrong, right? Proverbs tells us that, right? It says there is a way that seems right to a man, but its way is the end of death, okay? So we can't go on our feelings. We can't go on what seems right or the way we think that we would make the world, okay? We can't go that. That way can take you right down to hell. That's what he's saying, okay? He's saying we've got to rely on what the scriptures say, okay? And so this is a myth that he's really just issuing this challenge to contend for the faith is only for certain Christians. It's for all of us. It's for every one of us. And so in 1 Peter 3, it also kind of relates to this as well. And some of you may be familiar with this verse. But listen, 1 Peter 3, 13 to 15 says the following. It says, now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? This is 1 Peter 3, 13. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect. That's a good word. Well, it's the Bible. It's got to be the good word, right? But I'm just saying, that really applies to what we're talking about, doesn't it? Right? He's saying, listen, you got to be ready. Well, to be ready means preparation. Right? To be ready means I'm going to study some things out about things that start with questions you have that you're not sure about. In fact, there will be two things I'm going to suggest you focus in on just from the passage here that some of these false teachers were bringing up, okay? But just we need to see here, he's saying we need to be ready, be prepared to make a defense. And that's really where our word apologetics is coming from there, making a defense for our faith, okay? And so, but he says even how you're to do it, with gentleness and respect, okay? So, you know, I guess I'm getting ahead of myself here. That kind of goes into the next myth. So let's go to the second myth as we hang on to that idea of how he says to do it. All right, how to defend our faith, the attitude we are to have. Because one of the myths that it says, if I'm gonna fight for my faith, you know, that means I'm talking about debating ideas here. Okay, right? Because, you know, the things that you're talking about, like, who is Jesus? Why did he come? Is there a God? Why is can we trust the Bible? All these things. We're gonna engage our culture and the people around us on these things, which will come up when we start talking about God, okay, right, then what we need to do is to see, well, it is the most loving thing I could do, actually, to deliver the truth, okay? Right? To not say anything and to let somebody, people believe a lie that's going to take them straight to hell is the most unloving thing you could ever do. I mean, we're thinking short-term about somebody liking us or something. Or not liking us, you know, versus like long term, what's going to happen for eternity? That's what's at stake, okay? And so I know for me, it helps me see if I have the long view in mind, it helps me go through any discomfort that I might experience in the course of a discussion with somebody, okay? You know, I guess maybe the problem is we've kind of bought into that thing that everybody says. You know, there's these lists of things we just never talk about, right? Politics and religion, and then maybe there's another one. I don't know. So I'm just saying that those, you know what I'm saying? And I get that, those are supercharged, right? But I think what can happen is we can let that thinking take away from the salt and light we need to be. where, you know, you can take yourself right out of the game, in a sense, you know, from what, how God wants to use us to share our faith and to let people know, you know, it really does stand the test, okay? The truth test, and not only the experience test, but the truth test, okay? See, it's important that that we be able to to contend for our faith and realize that it is the loving thing to do. I mean, you can contend but not be contentious. Okay? I don't have to raise my voice, I don't have to yell at anybody. Maybe they'll do that. I don't really know, right? Has anybody here been yelled at because of a faith conversation? Maybe you have, maybe some of you had, I don't know. Okay? And so, you know, but that doesn't mean you know, and that Proverbs will tell you, you know, the best way to diffuse that is just to not raise the temperature yourself in the discussion, right? Just be calm. You don't have to, you know, let the Holy Spirit, you know, do the work. You just speak the truth in love, you know, and share what the Scripture's view is on whatever that core belief is, okay? And so so this idea that contending for the faith or fighting for the faith is not loving is just false. It's just false. It is the most loving thing to do. We can do it in a loving way with gentleness and respect, like 1 Peter says. Okay? Now, let me just mention this too, and I guess I've touched on this a little bit on this same point, is that there is a little bit of a sense in our society today, and even within Christian churches, this idea of again, sentimentalism, which I've kind of mentioned here already, that, you know, we don't want to offend anybody, right? So I don't want to say anything that's going to offend somebody. Well, then you might as well just, like, wire your mouth shut, because potentially anything you say could offend somebody, right? So, but, you know, we don't want to go there, all right? We don't want to just say, I'm not going to say anything because it might offend somebody, okay? But then also, I think in church sometimes it's easy to be anti-intellectual about things. Like, in other words, like, I'm just really all about feeling my faith and really don't want to spend any time up here, right, and work on my understanding. It's all about what I'm feeling and, you know, and all this sort of thing, and, you know, and we rely more on what we feel than one on what we know to be true, okay? And certainly our faith is one in which it is emotive. I mean, there are plenty of verses I can point out that where the believer is feeling something, okay? I mean, that's not, and that point is not to go to the other side, but I think the issue here is to say this. You know, if you find yourself not even wanting to grow in your understanding of the Bible and the core doctrines of the faith, then that's a problem. Okay, you're not engaging what this passage says. He says, "Contend for the faith, right, that was once for all delivered to the saints." Okay, now there's another myth too that some people think that contending for the faith is focused mostly on minor issues. Like little skirmishes about, you know, way back in the day it used to be about head coverings. You know, some of you guys are like, I don't even know what you're talking about, head coverings. You know? Okay, well, it all depends on what faith tradition you grew up in, right? If you were in a Brethren church or maybe a Mennonite church or Amish church or whatever, things like that, then you know what I'm talking about, okay? And so those, some people do disagree on what are minor things at times, and that's probably where the squabbles come, right? But some of these things are minor issues, you know, and some brothers I love and sisters in the faith don't believe that all the gifts are for today, the spiritual gifts. I do, but I can still love them, okay? Doesn't mean that they're not a Christian or that I'm not a Christian. It just means we have some, each side of that coin has some scripture that they're emphasizing and so on and have a different understanding on. But it's not a critical thing. And so there's this idea a lot of times that contending for the faith is focused on minor issues. Well, let me say, when you look at this book of Jude, this letter here, he's not talking about minor things, okay? When you look at this verse here in, let's see here, he said in verse 4, he says, for certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Now, let's just take the last one there. Whoever these people are that have crept into the church here, he's saying they've crept in unnoticed. They are believing and promoting some false teaching about Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, if there is just one thing that you would want to start out on and knowing solidly in your own Christian walk is, who is Jesus and what has he done? Okay? That's like we cut our teeth on that stuff. We got to know that stuff, okay? And I just mean that. Who is Jesus, period? Not who is Jesus to you, okay? Because that implies your experience is more important than what this Bible says. We got to know what the Bible says about who Jesus is, okay? Who is he? What is the nature of Jesus? Is he really fully God and fully man? Does it really matter? I mean, you know, does it really matter that we believe in a triune God, you know, the Trinity, right? I mean, maybe the Muslims are right. Maybe there's just one, you know, I mean, or do we believe in one God or three gods? Or what is that? You know what I'm saying? These are important things. The nature of Jesus Christ. Who is he? So dive into that. And by the way, this week, I'm sending out a series of emails and Facebook posts to try to turn you on to some resources to equip you in this. You know, and I hope that, you know, here's the thing. We come together to worship God. We come together to experience fellowship. But we also come together to hear the Word of God preached. Okay? And if you come to this church long enough, okay, consistently enough, you're going to hear the truth about who Jesus is and all the various aspects. I mean, you know, I'm just saying, And I'm not being prideful about them. I'm just saying because that's what, you know, through the Bible, I've got nothing else to say. And that's the really way it should be, right? When I try to hear, when we speak here, if I have an opinion to say, I state it as my opinion, okay, versus thus, you know, what thus saith the Lord in the Word of God, right? So, anyway, know who Jesus is. Be able to defend that because, you know, almost every cult, false religion is off on Jesus, okay? They're off on some aspect of Jesus. So if you want to contend for the faith, right, then know solidly who Jesus is, the nature of Jesus and the work of Jesus. What was he actually doing on the cross, okay? All right, and so what was happening there? Why did he have to die, right? All these things, I mean, so, and be able to go to the scriptures. Okay, don't just kind of like spit back what you've heard somebody say. You got to know where it came from, right? And so I'm not saying that you're not going to be able to pull up like a Rolodex every Bible verse that you read on some kind of thing about the nature of Jesus, but I'm saying you need to know that what you're believing is on solid ground. And the only way to know that is to get it from the source, right? The scriptures, okay? So this issue of who is Jesus and what has he done, okay? What has he done, his work? Focus on that just to start if you're getting started in this area of defending your faith. And then, trust me, other questions will come up, right? But process your questions in community, okay? Process your questions in community. This is important within the community of here of your brothers and sisters, right? All right. So, and then the other thing he says here in this passage, and there'll be more to say about this next week. So I'm just going to kind of just mention it. He said that these false teachers have perverted the grace of our God into sensuality, right? And so they're making a distinction, I believe. We can come to an idea that they were making a distinction that, you know what, it doesn't really matter to do with my body. It's really all about the spiritual stuff, right? If I'm saved, my spirit's saved, then this body, you know, God gave me this body. He gave me these desires. I can just act on them just as ever I want. Doesn't matter. Turning the grace of God into sensuality, right? And so we're going to talk more about that next week. But this is the thing. We need to understand the grace of God. Okay, it's all part of the salvation message. Okay, all right. So let me pray, and I pray that you and I would both be challenged to begin or continue, maybe in some of our cases, continue to strive to work at defending our faith. Okay. Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for your word. We thank you for this letter that was written by Jude. And Lord, help us to take to heart this command to contend for the faith, to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Lord, help us to understand the core beliefs of the Christian faith, and to be able to defend them. And if we don't have a starting place, let us start with Jesus. Let us start with Jesus and understand who he is and why he came, what he actually did. And Lord, I pray that this week and next week and the coming weeks, Lord, let us not be afraid to get into faith conversations and to contend for the faith, and not to be afraid to offend anyone. Lord, give us a heart of compassion and one of humility, but also one of confidence not in ourselves, but in the word of God and in the power of your spirit. Lord, we just pray this and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.